He's supposed to be my support system.
I have to remind him. He forgets he's married sometimes.
How could I forget? You remind me all the time.
Oh, okay. All right, so I think we need to start with prayer. We better start with prayer because we already told Brother Decker you better come in here because we might need counseling after this is over. Dear God, we need you in a special way. We're thankful for every time you've helped us in the past, and we need help tonight to say the right things. We only want to be a help. We don't want to say anything that's going to be offensive, anything that's going to hinder anyone, but we want to be able to be an encouragement and help to those that might be struggling with some of these things. So we just pray that you give us the right thoughts, the right things to say. Would you just help us in a mighty way tonight, and we'll give you the thanks. Amen. So Sister Sherry had asked me several weeks ago to pray about bringing a message about the right companion, the right timing for the right companion. So I had already had all these notes, and then she decided to do this series this week and gave me an outline, and I'm like, well, wait, I already had a message. So I'm going to try to go through some of this stuff I already had, but we're going to try to, hopefully you will interject and help me out.
Yes, dear.
Yes, this is the way that you have a perfect relationship. Just say yes, dear. All right. So, when I was looking up some thoughts, I came across some neat quotes about being single. So if you're discouraged, not everyone who is single is lonely, and not everyone who is taken is in love. The second one, dear future husband, find God, find yourself, then come find me. The third one, I like this one. Stay single until someone actually compliments your life in a way that makes it better not to be single. If not, it's not worth it. The next one, it takes a strong person to remain single in a world that is accustomed to settling with anything just to say they have something. The last one, just wait until you see why God had you wait. What God is doing is beyond what you could ever pray for or think of. So those are some quotes I found online. Does God care about all the details of our life? Does everybody believe that? Raise your hand if you believe God cares about details, things you want, things you desire. I think everybody believes that, right? Let's do Bible to back that up. Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. How many, now I know some of you are probably pretty young in here, so maybe you haven't even started thinking about this, but how many desire to have a good godly companion? Raise your hand. I think that is most of your desires, and if not now, maybe later in life it will be, if you're too young now to think about that. So, what should I do? Number one, what do you think we should do first? Start by praying. Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, he that seeketh, findeth, to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Is that a promise? Did God just mean that for some of you? You think God meant that for all of you? Philippians 4:6, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I think God knows what we want, right? Doesn't he know everything? He knows what you need, but I think he wants you to ask. I don't think he just expects you to say, well, I'm never going to pray for it. God knows what I need. I think God wants us, we've heard messages on that, God wants you to ask for things. He wants to hear your request. The second one, a big one, is wait on the Lord. Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. There's a time for everything. 2 Peter 3:8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. It might feel like you're waiting 1,000 years to find the right companion, right? sometimes it feels like that. But time is nothing to God. Nothing. He knows down here, he's got the right one for you. We just have to wait on the Lord. Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The secret is to what? Wait on the Lord. That is the secret. Okay? And when none of us like to wait, none of us like to be patient, but that is the key, is we've got to wait on the Lord. Your happiness is important to God. He has promised to give you the desires of your heart. If your desire is to have a good companion, what has God promised you? The desires of your heart. You know what that verse is? This is a verse that I claimed when I felt like I was never going to get married. That's what you need to do, is find a promise in the Bible, find a scripture, claim it for you. Mine was Psalms 37:4-5. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Claim a promise. Find a verse. This might not be it. Find a verse for you. There's plenty of them in the Bible where God says he's going to give you what you want when you pray in the will of the Lord. It is his desire, right, for you to be happy. It's his desire for you to find the right companion. So that's a promise. Find a promise that you can claim. Start praying now. I remember my grandma saying, you're never too young. Start now. I was like 12 years old. And she's like, start praying for the right companion now. And I thought, well, you know, I'm too young. I don't even care now. But I started praying young. Start now. Some of you are older, obviously, than 12. So you really need to start praying now. Get involved in the work of the Lord. Go to all-day meetings. Go to revivals. Go to youth functions. Busy yourself for God, and it'll happen. And you'll just think, wow, where did that come from? Right? If we get busy for God, we're not going to sit around whining about, I have no one, I have no one. Get busy for God, and he'll work everything out for you. And get to know each other in group settings. That is the best thing you can do. I'm going to tell you that from experience. Go out with people as a group, whether you're going to revivals together, whether you're going to the bonfire together Friday night. Get to know people in group settings. That's the best way. Because by doing that, you're not going out on a date. You're not going to hurt someone's feelings by saying, oh, I just realized I don't really care for, you know, this, this, and this about you. You're not going to hurt someone. You're going to be in a group setting, and you're going to start seeing how they react to situations. You're going to start seeing characteristics. You're going to start seeing personality traits that may clash with yours, may not be the best thing for you, right? And you've done it in a group setting so that you can move on and pray about someone else, correct? So get together in group settings. Do you want to interject yet?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay. When the time's right, are you going to tell me?
We did.
Yes, so I know. Do you want to go ahead and say something about that?
Yeah, so when Sister Tammy and I, we didn't really know each other, but there was a kind of a group that we always went out with, so we would get together and play Rook or whatever. So this went on for quite a while, so very innocent. You know, I was starting to think, well, she's not that bad of a girl, you know, so. And I was hoping she would feel the same way about me. But after a while, I don't want to go too far, but that kind of got old. So then we were friends for a long time.
We were never dating.
We were
always friends, just going out as friends.
So we would go get coffee, right? It's like a favorite thing of ours. So, but then things just progressed. So
they did.
Yeah. Well, not very fast though.
We took a long time. Okay, so I'll talk a little bit about, first of all, how old were you when you got married?
33.
I was 30, so I think we've beat most everybody in the room. Well, I don't know, 100% sure, but most everybody. And at least when I was growing up, that just seemed really old. So I'll just tell you that from my experience. When I was growing up, it seemed like everybody got married as soon as they got out of high school. It was like 18, everybody's getting married, 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 married. So you for sure felt like an old maid or an old bachelor, whatever they call guys, because you didn't get married. Because everybody was getting married young back then. But I was determined. I wanted the right one. I thought, this is one of the most important decisions I'm making in life, right? What's the most important decision we make?
Salvation.
Okay. Second is choosing the right companion. So I was scared to death of marrying the wrong one. And you know why? I would watch. That's all you have to do is start looking around. And you see people that are not happy, that did not marry the right one, right? It doesn't take far to go. Sometimes it's your best friend, sometimes it's a relative, and you see they did not marry the right one. All they do is fight, they end up in divorce, this or that happens. And I saw that happening, and I thought, I do not want that. I will wait for the right one if I have to wait a long time. So I was very picky. I had a list. I didn't really write out a list. I had a list here. And one of my things on my list was, I will never marry a redhead. Now, you don't see that now, but if you saw him before, he was a redhead. So don't say, I'll never do this, I'll never do that. I knew guys that said, I'll never do this, and they did that. They married those kind of people. So do not say, I'll never do that. But, you know, you have things you like in looks, and you're like, I want tall, thin, skinny, handsome, pretty. You have all those things, and that's natural. But we need to think about important values here, right? What should be number one on our list when we're looking for a companion? Saved, right? We want somebody saved. Not just saved. You want somebody that's been saved a while. They're established, so you know they're staying saved, right? That they're not up and down, they're not in and out. You want somebody that's going to stay saved, so you have a happy home. You want somebody that's a hard worker. You want your husband to be able to go out and get a job and not sit at home and say, well, I don't know where our next meal is going to come from. I don't feel like working today, right? We need somebody that's going to be a hard worker, earn money, fix things around the house. We want a wife that knows how to cook, knows how to clean, and doesn't sit around and do nothing all day. I'm sure those are desires you have to have a happy home. So I'm sure you have a list. I mean, you have to have some kind of a list. You know, some things, everybody desires something differently. So make a list and pray over the list and pray about, you know, you're going to have to change. I had to cross off some things I wanted on my list. I just did. It didn't happen that way. So sometimes things we like, maybe we want somebody that's very similar to us. I wanted somebody really into music. Doesn't really have that desire. But it still works, right? It still works. So you might not get all of those things that might not be 100% have to be. They have to be that way, right? When I used to always hear opposites attract, I was like, I didn't really understand that. I thought I needed somebody very similar to me. So then when I dated guys very similar to me, it's like, oh, whoa, we are clashing because I have to have it this way and you have to have it this way and it's just not going to work, right? So sometimes you got to have a more laid back personality to go with a little bit stronger willed personality, right? So that's the only way it's going to work. So that's where the opposites come in. But you've got to have similar values too. You've got to have somebody that wants to live for God, somebody that wants to be involved in the work of the Lord. If you really love to go to revivals and you really love to do those kind of things, you don't want to marry somebody that says, I just want to sit at home. I don't like to go out to anything. I just want to stay right here. Because that's going to create a problem for you when you have that desire and that burden to go to those things. So you've got to, you know, mentally make a list, but pray over that list because trust me, it's going to change some. You are not an old maid if you're not married as soon as you get out of high school, okay? Just remember that. Remember, how old was I? How old was Brother Rodney? Okay, keep remembering that because, okay, we were older. Okay, so what's some of the problems? When you get married young, and I saw this with friends that got married young, you're 18, you're just out of high school, you just start a new job, and you run and get married, and what do you think is the first thing that's probably going to happen?
Bills.
And I just started a new job and I'm minimum wage because I haven't went to college. I haven't got anything really established yet in life. So on that side of the spectrum, when you get married young, you tend to have financial difficulties. And you're still, believe it or not, a little bit on the immature side. You're still growing. You're still learning. You don't have all those experiences out in life. You don't have all those things that mature us by working and doing things that give us that experience. So immaturity causes problems in marriages, right? Because we're both young and childish about things, and we want our way, and we don't know how to give in to each other. Then we've got, on our spectrum, we're older. What do you think our number one problem was? Stubbornness. Set in our ways. He's got a system. He's done it for years. I got a system. I've done it for years. And then you try to come together. So there is problems that way too. So there's not going to be the perfect mix. You've got to learn to adapt to each other one way or the other, whether it's the immaturity and whatever that type of problem, or whether it's, you know, hey, I've done this for 50 years and I'm never changing. So it's, you've got to give, right? We've got to give. Not give on spiritual things, right? But we got to give some. When you love someone, you're going to give some. Okay, maybe I was used to doing things this way and now I've got to change it. Okay? So that's on this two different spectrums, young and older. There are, you know, problems both ways. But the key is marrying when God says it's the right time. And then it's going to work. If you force something now, it's not going to work so well, is it? But if you wait till over here, 5-10 years later, if it's God's timing, it's going to work. So I'll talk a little bit about, have you had a thought yet?
Had one.
Okay, do you want to, I'm going to give him a second to talk here. A second. Honey, you have 5 minutes.
Yes, dear. She mentioned being patient as far as seeking a companion. I just had a couple scriptures here. Romans 8:25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So there's nothing wrong with being patient when seeking a companion. Because this is really important in life. I mean, there's, if you really think about it, in the period of your lifetime, there's only a couple things that is really going to be important. Number one, salvation. And number two is finding the right companion. So I had a couple numbers here. So in the United States, recent U.S. census, there is 53,700,000 people from 18 to 29 years old. 41% of those are single. So there's 22,017,000 single people in the United States. So the odds, cheer up, the odds are probably you're all going to get married. All right? But don't get too excited, because God's only got one for you. So the odds of you finding that right one is pretty scary. So that's why we need to pray, wait. The first thought I really had was wisdom. My key scripture, James 1:5, the one that really came to my mind, if any of you lack wisdom, all right, at some point, even myself, lack wisdom, you just, I don't know if you acquire it, you can ask for it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Upbraideth just simply means without reproach, no fault finding, without any unkind word, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So the three main points that I was, if I was going to have time, was seek wisdom first and find, trying to search out for a companion. Be patient. Okay? Obviously, we were patient. I mean, to be quite honest with you, it didn't bother me at all that I got married 33 years old. Now, it may be different from you guys, but absolutely didn't affect me at all. You know? So, and the third one, I'll just get it in while I have time, was temperance. The Greek word for temperance is called enkratia. It just simply means self-control or power over oneself. So, you know, you think of people that have a temper, you know, you're steam coming out of their ears, but really it's more than beyond that. Somebody could be real temperamental and not show it at all, right? They're just fuming inside, right? You see it a lot in like the stock. I follow the stock market a little bit, right? One person that has people have a lot of, like, say Warren Buffett made a comment, the whole market could go crazy just because of what he said, okay? People panic. They lose control. They have no self-control. And him, of all people, that would his advice was just put money in a index fund and don't look at it for 50 years, right? But then people will panic over based on what he says. So, but I was going to give an example, right? I just made up an example. So, guys, you have this girl that you're kind of like, and you think that she kind of likes you, and right, and you think, well, maybe this I might pursue this a little further, but then you see her talking to another guy. All right, so what are you going to do? Yeah, I mean, do you just start in a frenzy? Do you panic? All right, that's part of temperance, right? If she is meant for you, it'll come out in the end. Okay, so just just watch, seek wisdom, patience, and your temperance. Right, just be cool. Right, just be really cool. And you want to give? Yeah.
Okay, so now I need Johnny and Billy to come up and give us a demonstration. So one over here and one here. So Johnny really wants to find the right companion. And so he starts looking, what's the place you should look for a companion?
Church.
You got it right. Okay. Mm. So he's looking at church and he's looking around and he's looking around and he sees Mary. He thinks Mary, now this is not Nolan and Ellie, this is a scenario. He thinks Mary is the right one for him. So life is like a puzzle. Life is like each one of you have puzzle pieces that come together throughout life. I wanted to make this on the floor. It's a floor puzzle. A very beautiful underwater scene, okay? Remember, there's lots of fish in the sea, right? Lots of fish in the sea. Sometimes, I remember one time I thought, that was the only one for me and it didn't work out and I was devastated. And I met someone else and it was like God right there said, there's more fish in the sea. So, you know, sometimes you think, you have this blinders on and you think it was him and now he's messed up and married somebody else. No. God has something for you. Don't you think if that person messed up, God still has something for you? I mean, sometimes we look and think, I think that was the one for me, but doesn't God still have a plan for our life? God has something for us. So, in the puzzle of life, we're putting pieces together. We try to put our pieces together, and do they fit? Oh, it looks like maybe I could force these together, right? It's kind of a fit. But number one, it's a shark and a fish, so that's kind of like two really different personalities, right? Shark and a fish. And I'm trying to force those pieces together. Are they going? No, it's not the perfect fit. Mary is not the perfect fit. So, Johnny's looking around some more. He's praying. He's going to revivals, youth gatherings, and looking. And he sees Susie. And Susie and Johnny and Susie start going out. praying about this. Does the puzzle pieces fit in life?
Perfect fit.
So the pieces came together nicely, didn't they? They were the perfect fit for each other. Thank you. And while they are working on things, we've got Billy. Billy's very upset. He's old. He's 20 years old, and he don't think he's going to ever get married, and he's really upset about that. So he starts praying about it, and he meets Bertha. And Bertha,
I don't even want to see the piece.
Just seems like, you know what? She's saved. She's a Christian. She comes from a good home. She's fitting all the things on his list. But is it the perfect fit? Is it the one God wanted for Billy? Now, if we worked really hard, oh, he wants it to fit. He wants it because he really thinks she's pretty. She's got to be the one for him. Is she the right one? No, something's wrong. The picture... Could you tear up my puzzle? The picture, something, it's a seahorse, number one, and a fish. So I don't know how those personalities go together, but it seems like it's a close fit, but not quite the fit, correct? So something is wrong. So he keeps praying. He's now 25, 26, 27. He's got a good job. He's got good money. He can support a wife now. But he can't seem to find that perfect fit. So he keeps praying, and along comes Frida. Frida. Frida and Billy get to know each other. They start going to church functions together. They start praying together. Does the puzzle piece fit? Two perfect goldfish. Did the fish, do they match? Do they look like they're the right fit? Yes. So they are the right fit for each other. Thank you. Okay, so what am I trying to say? You know what I'm trying to say? Sometimes, and I've seen this in relationships, people want it to work so bad, they're going to force it no matter what. I'm going to force that piece in my life. She's beautiful. She has to be the one for me. She does go to church. It has to be the right fit. And we force it. And you know what usually happens is the rest of your life, you're forcing your marriage to work. If you see that when you're dating, you have to force this relationship to work, and I'll tell you that from experience. If I'm constantly having to make this person happy and constantly having to give up what I want to do because he's determined to have it his way, you're going to do that the rest of your life in your marriage. Is that what you want? That's not the perfect fit. It might be somebody from church. It might be somebody that's saved, but you might be miserable the rest of your life. And I'm sorry, but I've seen that in the church, people that are miserable. I do not feel it was the perfect fit. Now, can God help it to be the perfect fit afterwards? I think God can give you grace for that marriage. I think God can help you. It's going to take a lot of prayer. It's going to take a lot of work. Whereas if you had that perfect fit, it doesn't take as much work, does it? The personalities fit together. The desires to work for God fit together. It just comes together easier. And there's not all that work. And yes, every marriage takes work. Every marriage takes work. But some, you're going to be fighting a lot harder to make it work when it was not the perfect fit. Correct? You guys see what I'm trying to say with the puzzle? In order to get this beautiful picture, we've got to have the pieces come together right. So you want that perfect fit, and I can just tell you from experiences that I had, started dating younger, well, you know, 16, 17, going out a little bit, and I just wanted to go out, have a good time. I really wanted it more like friendship type stuff. I did not want it to get serious right away. But it doesn't always work that way on the other end. Sometimes he's wanting to get serious. So then you feel like you're hurting people because it's like, ugh, I just wanted to be friends and he wants to be boyfriend and girlfriend and it's just not working. And then you feel like you've upset someone. So a lot of times I just wanted to go out in group settings, go out and have a good time that way. I feel like that is the best way to get to know people. I met people that were like, okay, he's a nice guy. And then I'd see, man, he don't want to work. He's lazy. So you start seeing things like that. By going out in groups, you're going to see those characteristics. You're going to see those things that, you know, not always on the spiritual realm, but on the other realm, somebody that's got to be able to support you, somebody that's got to be able to fit with your personality. You will see that in group settings. When something goes wrong in a group setting, somebody have a fiery temper. I've seen that before too. Oh, okay, I don't need a temper in my family, right? So you can see those things by going out in groups. And I saw that a lot of times. I married a charmer. He knew all the right things to say. He even told me one night, oh, just say the word and we'll elope tonight. Oh, how romantic, right? He knew all the right things to say. But you know what? God, I am telling you, bells will be ringing and going off when something is not right. And I've had people tell me those things were happening and they still overstepped that. They still overstepped that. And when I was dating that guy, bells were going off constantly. Yes, he said everything right to me. Everything right. But all of a sudden it came to the spiritual side and he didn't think the standard was that important and he didn't see things the way I saw. I was raised strict. So you start looking at when we get together and raise children, he thinks they can do this and I've been raised strict. Those things are not going to mesh. It's not going to be that perfect puzzle fit, right? So those are some of the experiences I had. I mean, wait until you're 30. There was just a lot. There was guys I liked, guys I, oh wow, they got the musical part that I love, but I didn't see the spiritual part. And that's got to come first. You've got to have that first. So then I was probably, I just got out of college. I was 25 or 26, I think. And here's Rodney. Okay, let's think about this scenario. We're looking around church, and there's plenty of young people in here. I remember doing this, though. 50-some young people, and you're like, there's no one. There's no one. There's 50 guys sitting right there. But if it's not the right one for you, there's no one, right? He wasn't around. He was raised in the church. And, of course, that's what I wanted, somebody that knew the standard, somebody knew holiness, somebody that knew all of the values that I knew, right? His parents left. He got discouraged. He left. But he said he always knew where he could come back and get help. So all those years I waited, my husband was not here, right? I could have just married someone. He wasn't here yet. God was still working on him. What's the song? He's still working on me. Maybe God is still molding and trying to get your perfect one perfect for you. So that puzzle piece goes together. It's not going together just yet. He's still working on that husband or wife, right? So he comes to church. He gets saved. He has a desire to live for God. I didn't think nothing of it. I just thought, well, he's a nice guy, We started going out in groups. And little by little, you're seeing those characteristics, that personality. You're seeing all the things that are important to me. And it didn't happen right away. Like he said, this seemed to take a long time. Remember, I'm picky. I want to make sure this is the right one for me. So we went out in groups. We went out with a bunch of young people. Then we just started going out by ourselves. And we always said, we're just friends. We're just friends. We're just friends. And then I don't know, at some point we were like, are we dating? But that's the way I feel like it should be. I mean, you need to get to know each other as friends. And then decide, is this going to work out for me to start dating this person? Have anything to say about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not too much.
And one of the things that I would encourage when we're talking about things to do, when you're dating, giving you some tips. Remember, I give you the tip going out in groups, right? But then when you go by yourself, I still think you should try to go out with other people to keep the flesh under, right? When we're by ourselves all the time, and if you get by yourself in a secluded area, it's just a time for the flesh to work. So one of the things that helps with that is we would pray. At the end of a date, we would pray together. Okay, let's pray together. Let's pray and make sure we keep the flesh under, right? So all of a sudden, in the midst of all this, Brother Dishman gets up and preaches a message, praying for the right one. Have you seriously prayed about that right one? And I don't know what it was. It just hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, we were just going out with a friend, as friends, and then all of a sudden it was like we were dating, and did we really pray about this? Did we really pray through about this? So I give him the tape. I'm like, let's take a sabbatical from each other, and let's pray about this. So he says, I broke up with him, and I said, no, this was a mutual thing. He just doesn't realize it was a mutual thing. So we took a sabbatical. There's nothing wrong with that, right? We said, let's take time off. Let's just pray about this. And that's what we did. I wanted lightning to strike me. I wanted God to come down in a booming voice and say, this is the one for you. And that's not going to happen. But when that peace goes together perfectly, you're going to know it. And when we took a sabbatical, then it's like something, like I said that quote, when something complements your life to where it's much better than being single. And that's not always, you know, the sign. You've got to know, they've got to be spiritual. You've got to know this is God. You're not going to have that. I don't believe you're going to have a booming voice, but I believe God's going to let you know by having everything fall into place the way it's supposed to. And remember, number one has to be spirituality. That has to be number one. So then it was like we realized this is meant to be. This is God's will. We are better together than we are apart. And God was in it. And that's all I can say, because sometimes it's hard to say. Like I said, there's just no booming voice. And other people might have given you another reason where God showed them. But it just fits together. I mean, the personality, laid back and not so laid back, and opinionated and not so opinionated. And some of those things just go together. But number one, that desire to come back to church, the desire to live for God, it just fell into place. Remember, Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Did you have something else to say about your experiences? So, she pretty much said everything, but the godly advice that I would give the youth people here as far as waiting and dating, I wrote down, if you want to get advice, take it from the ones who have already been successful at it. Okay. I'm sure by looking at this list, you know, go see your pastor, talk to him. It probably wouldn't be a really bad idea before you ever date somebody if you would go talk to the pastor. He may, you know, I say, look, I'm Brother Decker, or whoever your pastor is. I'm interested in this girl. I think she kind of likes me. What do you think? Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Okay? He may head something off that could be end up being a disaster later. So that would be the advice. There's plenty of examples around here of people that have a really good marriage, a happy marriage. A lot of people that's married in this world, I don't think some of them are very happy. All right, and I'm not talking about here at church, but just in the world in general. You talk to guys at work, I'd rather work, go to work, than go home. That's a sad situation there. All right. Oh, I think I didn't have too much else. She was like-minded, kind of like on the same page, so to speak. Okay, we've always been that way. So I'm not musically inclined. She is. Some places where I'm weak, she can help me. Somewhere she might be weak, I can help her. We're just a really good match. And you know, I was 33, so there was, you know, looking back, all right, so to be perfectly honest with you, I was probably a little bit selfish. You know, I mean, I lived on my own for several years outside of my parents' house, probably 11 years. So, didn't even recognize it at first. Then, you know, yeah, so finally you start recognizing, you know, what can I do to help her? So it's taken, what, 23 years? Getting a little better. So, But it's a process, right? From day one to the last day, just continue to work on your marriage. It can get better and better and better. So I love my wife. I think I made the absolute, she was the perfect one for me out of 22,017,000 single people. I got the right one of them. So I can't speak for her.
And I love him too. So pray about the right companion. It is so important. It is so very, very important. And remember, wait on the Lord. That is the key.